Today is Wednesday, March 1st, Chet Adar, day after Moshe Rabbeinu's Yahrzeit. And I'm really excited about this year. I might get a little creative, which is a little scary, but it was too good not to make the connections. So I was interested in the Choshen Mishpat, the breastplate that Aaron and any Kohen Gadol wore on his chest. And there's a lot of history about this. So first we're going to read about it in this week's Parsha, Tetzaveh. So it lists all of, this is broken up. First in Pasuk Dalet, it lists all of the 8 articles of clothing specific to the Kohen Gadol. The regular Kohen had 4 articles of clothing. And included in that is something called the Choshen. And then in Pasuk Tetvav, it's referred to as the Choshen Mishpat. So the Choshen, whatever that means, of judgment. So Vasita Choshen Mishpat, Maase Choshev. It's a work of a master weaver, Kemase Ephod. You shall make it like the Ephod. The Ephod is one of the other articles of the Kohen. It's a famous Rashi there that he says it's like the royal women wear on horseback when they're on horses, and a story about how Rashi witnessed a bunch of princesses going by riding horses, and why did he have to witness that? And he realized it so he would understand what the ephod was. So you should make it gold and blue and purple, tola chani, crimson wool, sheish, which is twisted fine linen, mashsar, sheish masar, tasauto. This is what I spoke about last year, but I can't help but mention the only other place where we see all of these colors and precious metals mentioned is the palace of King Achashverosh, and it's no accident that the rabbis want us to read all of these parshiot describing the Mishkan and the clothing of the Kohen Gadol at the same time as we read about the Jewish people a little bit too comfortable settling in the palace of King Achashverosh, where maybe they should have been somewhere else. Okay, so then it says it's going to be square, and it's going to be doubled because it's going to be folded. So it's folded underneath, and inside, well, I'm getting ahead of myself, so that was through Tet Zayin through 16, and then 29, V'nasa Aaron the Tshmot B'nei Yisrael B'choshen. Aaron carries the names of the son of Israel on the Choshen Hamishpat, the Choshen of Judgment, Alibo. I should have bolded that, on his heart. So remember that. We're going to see that as a theme of where the Choshen is placed, and that's what we're going to be talking about. Why is it on his heart? Bivo al Kodesh, when he comes into the holy, Lizikaron Lifnei Hashem Tamid. So it's as a remembrance before Hashem always. So what does it mean, the names of Bnei Israel? Each one of the stones had a name of a different shevet on it. And then Lahavdil, it's not like this, but the only way to describe it is like a Ouija board where a question would be asked, the Kohen Gadol would ask a question or somebody would ask, and then these stones that were inside only during the Mishkan and the first temple period, not during the second temple period, would light up stones, and then the Kohen Gadol with Ruach HaKodesh, with divine inspiration, would have to figure out which letters of the name of that Shevet whose stone was lit up were relevant to come to the conclusion of what the message was. Okay, and here in Pasuk Lamed we see V'natata El Choshen HaMishpat, you should place in this Choshen Mishpat, which is folded over from underneath, it's like a pocket, Et HaUrim V'et HaTumim, these stones, which if you've ever seen the symbol of the crest of Yale, it says Urim V'Tumim. V'hayu Alev Aaron, it will be on the heart of Aaron. So again, we're repeating this idea on his heart. B'vo Lifnei Kodesh, Lifnei Hashem, V'nasa Aaron et Mishpat B'nei Israel, Alibo Lifnei Hashem Tamid. So they'll be over Aaron's heart when he comes to the Lord, and Aaron will carry the judgment of the children of Israel over his heart before the Lord at all times. Now, I skipped around, so I didn't pay attention to how many times the word lev is in the whole chapter, but we see it at least 3 times here just in the selections I gave you. So it's very important to know that this Choshen HaMishpat, this Choshen of Judgment, is on his heart. Okay, so now we have to go backwards to figure out what it means. Where did this come from? And we also have to figure out, hi Sue, nice to see you. We also have to figure out to a certain extent how it came to be that Aaron is the Kohen Gadol in the first place. It didn't seem to be part of the original plan. The original plan is just seeking out Moshe Rabbeinu for this leadership role. So how did these roles get separated, and how did Aaron come to be the high priest? Okay, so this is at the burning bush, and this is chapter 4, Perek Dalet. The burning bush segment begins in Perek Gimel, so we're in the middle of the conversation. The rabbis say that Moshe Rabbeinu was at the burning bush for a whole week, where Hashem is trying to, the Midrash uses the Hebrew word for seduce, liftot, to seduce him to take on this role to go out and save the Jewish people, and he keeps giving excuses and refusing, which is another thing to explore. We're going to touch on it a little bit here. And he finally gets Hashem to give him proof. So what leads that to that? So Pasuk Aleph, Vayan Moshe Vayomer, Vehin lo ya'aminu li. Moshe answered and he said, they will not believe me. Velo yishma'u b'kol li, and they will not hear my voice. Ki yomru lo nir'ah lecha Hashem, because they're going to say God did not appear to you. If you remember, we explored this when we explored Serach Bat Asher, the oldest woman in Tanakh, that she remembered the secret password of Pakod Yifkod, he will surely remember, that Moshe used, that Hashem told him to use, and so that's how they finally came to believe him and trust him. But Moshe said, they won't believe me. And look what Hashem does next. Vayomer lav Hashem maza biyadacha, vayomer mata. God says, what's this in your hand? He says, it's a stick or a staff. Vayomer hashlichehu arza. God said, throw it to the ground. Vayashlichehu arza, he threw it to the ground. Vayhila nachash. And it became a snake. Now, I don't know, you probably all know this story, but I don't know if you know the symbolism of what it means that it turned into a snake. That's what we're going to explore. Vayanas Moshe mipanav. Moshe fled from before it. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, shlach yadcha ve'achoz biznavo. God said to Moshe, send forth your hand and take hold of its tail. Ve'yishlach yado ve'yechazek bo. He sent out his hand and he held it. Ve'yihi lamata ve'kapo, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. L'man ya'aminu ki nir'a lecha Hashem elokei avotam, elokei Avraham, elokei Yitzchak, elokei Yaakov. In order that they believe that the Lord, the God of your forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, appeared to you. Ve'yomer Hashem lo od haveina yadcha. Not just this, he said again, stretch out your hand. Sorry, place your hand in your bosom. Bechekecha. Ve'yave yado bechekeko. He places his hand in his bosom. Ve'yatzi'a v'hine yado mitzorat keshalet. He took it out and behold, his hand was leprous as snow. Tzara'at. Ve'yomer Hashiv yadcha chekecha. God said, bring your hand back to your bosom. He brought his hand back into his bosom. And it returned back to his normal skin. Okay, so we have these two signs.
I assume this is not the same tzara'at that Miriam had?
It's the exact same tzara'at as Miriam had. Excellent.
Oh.
And what do we associate both tzara'at and a nachash with? Lashon Hara, yay, Chaim, yes, Lashon Hara. Okay, so this is not lost on the rabbis, the symbolism of these two things together being done to Moshe that is obviously very disturbing to Moshe. You could even say a punishment that here Moshe says they're not going to believe me. Hashem gives him signs so that they will believe him, but embedded in these signs is a certain punishment that we associate with Lashon Hara. So what's going on? So Rashi for the win. Vahila nachash, it turned into a snake. Ramazlo shesiper lashon hara al Yisrael. It's a hint that he spoke lashon hara about the Jewish people. V'tafas emunato shel nachash, and he adopted the art or the craft of the snake. So what was the lashon hara? When he said, they're not going to believe me. He doesn't have faith in him. Whoops, I went too far. He doesn't have faith. He's going to be a leader, and a leader, number one role, needs to have faith in his or her followers. I'm picking on Beverly here because I know that she was a leader of a staff of people who help children with special needs. And in order to do that effectively, as she did for 20 years, she had to have faith and believe in the teachers, and not only believe in the teachers, but believe in the kids as well, right? So that was Moshe is being punished. You want to say something, Beverly?
And I had to believe in the parents.
Yes. Yes, you had to believe in a lot of people. So, and I'm sure a lot of you can have examples from your own lives where you were a leader and had to, if you didn't believe in the people that you were leading, then it just wouldn't be effective. So this is Moshe Rabbeinu's first lesson as the future leader of B'nai Israel. Believe in them. Do not speak Lashon Hara about them. Do not doubt them. Do not say they're not going to believe me.
I love the lessons in leadership in Torah.
Yes.
It just permeates through any like non-Jewish oriented leadership courses that I've taken. And I'm always sitting there and thinking, where do you think you got that?
Yes. And you were a huge leader too, Nancy. Yes, for sure.
Always is in my head. And then the opposite is true when you have someone who doesn't believe in you on a team, but you know perfectly well that you're contributing at your best level.
Right.
It's all right there.
Yes. Okay. And so that was the snake. The snake speaks Lashon Hara. Moshe's acting like a snake. Mitzara'at kashelig, he turns leprous as snow. Af ba'otze ramaz shelashon hara siper. Even with this, it hints that he spoke Lashon Hara for the second time. The Omro, when he says, Lo ya'aminu li, and this is where Rashi says, they're not going to believe, quotes from the Pasuk, they're not going to believe me. Lefichach hilkahu b'tzarat. And that's why he was stricken with tzarat. K'mo shelakta Miriam, like you said, Chaim, you were thinking like Rashi, al Lashon Hara, just like Miriam was struck when she said Lashon Hara about Moshe. Okay. So here we're already getting little hints. I want you to keep in mind Moshe being punished for lack of faith in his people and the use of the snake as that symbolism of the of his punishment and the Lashon Hara. Okay, continuing. So that was through Pasuk that we just did, through Pasuk Zayin. Now we're skipping to Pasuk Yud Dalet. So more goes on between Hashem and Moshe. Moshe says, send someone else. I should have included that, but I didn't. And at that point, Pasuk Yud Dalet, Hashem gets angry. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. Hashem gets angry at Moshe. Vayomer, and he says, Halo Aaron achicha halevi yadati ki daber yadaberhu. Behold, Aaron, your brother, the Levi. Okay, that's going to be a key word. That's very seemingly superfluous here. Moshe himself is a Levi. Why does he have to be told his brother's a Levi? I know that he surely speaks. Because Moshe is saying you can't speak, right? V'gam hinehu yotze likratecha v'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. Okay? And he also is coming out to greet you. And when he sees you, he'll be happy in his heart. Okay? Remember how many times the heart was described with the choshen? And now we see Aaron, the heart used with Aaron. So the Gemara says here in Masachet Shavas, v'yamar revi malai, I forgot how you pronounce that, sorry, Bischar v'racha v'samach b'libo, as a reward for Aaron seeing you and being happy in his heart, zacha l'choshen ha'mishpat al libo. He merited to have this choshen of judgment on his heart. So now the question is, why is it such a great thing that Aaron's going to be happy? Wouldn't anybody be happy to see his brother, especially if they hadn't seen each other in, it could have been 60 years at this point. Moshe was probably a teenager when he left Egypt, and he was 80 years old at the burning bush. So why wouldn't Aaron have been happy to see his brother? And now, not only that, but for seemingly something that's instinctive to be happy to see your brother, he gets a reward that he gets this choshen mishpat with the Urim and Tumim in it. Okay, so Rashi, who picks up on the Gemara, but explains to us a little bit more. So Vayichar Af, God got angry. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Omer, Kol Charon Af Shebetorah Ne'amar Bo Roshen. Anytime it says that God gets angry, there's always some kind of impression left on it. It doesn't just disappear without leaving an impression. It uses in the translation here, it says consequence. V'zeh lo ne'amar bo roshem. But this one, Yeshua ben Karcha says, didn't have any impression left. There was no consequence. V'lo matzinu sheba onesh ayde oto charon. We don't see that there was any punishment on this anger. Nothing of consequence happened. Amar lo Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi says, af bezo ne'amar baroshem. No, this one also left an impression. So what was the consequence of this anger of Hashem? Halo Aaron achicha halevi. Behold, Aaron, your brother, the Levi, shehaya atid lihiot Levi, v'lo kohen. Why does it say Levi? Because in the future, Aaron would have remained a Levi and not a kohen. Aaron was not meant to be a kohen. V'hakehuna hayiti omer latzeit mimcha. I intended for the priesthood to come from you. Me'ata lo yaken. That's not going to be the case now. This is the impression of this anger. Elehu yia kohen ve'ata Levi. He's going to be the kohen and you're going to be the Levi. Shenamar, as it says in Divrei Hayamim, Umoshe ish halokim banav yikra'u al shevet ha-Levi. But as for Moshe, the man of God, his sons were to be called in the tribe of Levi. So what does that mean? Why does it have to stay there? Because, as we'll see in a few weeks, with the setting up of the Mishkan, Moshe served as the Kohen for the 8 days, the first 8 days of the Mishkan, until Aaron and his sons were inaugurated into their role as Kohen. But Moshe was not able to pass down the kahuna to his own children. That was reserved for Aaron and his sons. Okay, so that's the roshem, that's the impression, the consequence from this anger that Hashem got from God from towards Moshe, that the kahuna was taken away from Moshe in that moment and given to Aaron. And not only that, v'rachav v'samach b'libo, he'll see you and he'll be happy in his heart. And now this is a little bit of a defense of Moshe, but again, it relates to his doubt about the Jewish people. So let's read it carefully. Lo kesha ata savur. It's not like you reason or you think. Shia makpid alecha sheata ole legedula. That your brother Aaron is going to resent you, that you are rising in greatness above him. Umisham zacha Aaron leade hachoshen hanatun al halev. And from here, Aaron merited the jewels of the breastplate that sat on his heart, which is placed on his heart. So we learn two things here about Aaron and about Moshe. One, that Moshe, part of the reason, and you'll see this in a lot of commentaries, that Moshe didn't want to take on this role was because he was worried that his brother Aaron, we're going to see this quoted in a few other places, it referenced that he had been the Navi, he had been the prophet for Bnei Israel in Egypt. And it's based on a pasuk in Sefer Shmuel that talks about Hashem speaking to the people in Egypt. So Aaron had this role as Navi for the Jewish people. Moshe, now, if he accepts this role that God is giving him to go to Egypt and take out the Jewish people, is understanding that he's going to usurp Aaron in this role. And he thinks Aaron will not react to this in a good way, that he'll resent it. So again, do you see the similarities between him saying the Jewish people will not believe him and Aaron will resent him? And Hashem saying, no, indeed, Aaron is actually going to be happy for you. He's going to be happy. He's not going to resent you at all. And that's why, because he was happy in heart for his brother's greatness, even if it meant taking from his own greatness, he merited the choshen. There's a Yiddish word that's also turned into a Hebrew word called tefargen, lefargen in Hebrew. I don't know if it exists in any other language. It's certainly not in English. And it's the opposite of to be jealous. It's to be genuinely happy for somebody in their goodness of what's happening in their lives. Lefargen, such a beautiful word. And I would use that word, although I didn't see it in any of the commentaries, to describe how Aaron felt for his brother's rise to greatness, despite the fact that it usurped him and his role as leader of the Jewish people at the time. Okay, so now this is the riff, but it's not, if any of you have ever learned Gemara with the riff, it is not that riff, and I'm so glad that I look up these biographies because I totally would have thought it was the riff, even though it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And in fact, if you look at this little biography in the parentheses, it says not to be confused with Rav Yitzchak Alfasi, which is the riff who's most commonly known. He's one of the main commentators on the Gemara, in the back of the Gemara. So this riff is 16th century to a family of Spanish exiles, and he wrote, this is a commentary on the Ein Yaakov. You see, it's on, and Ein Yaakov was a book written much later than the original Rif, so that's why it wouldn't have made any sense for me to tell you he was the original Rif, where he took out just the Agada, the lore aspects of the Gemara, and he put it, them into its own book called the Ein Yaakov. So Ein Yaakov is Gemara without the Halacha, just the Agada, the Midrashic parts of the Gemara. So this is the Gemara that we saw before. Amar Rabbi Milai, Bishar, Ra'echa, V'samach, B'libo, Zachal, Choshen, Mishpat, Alibo. As a reward that he will be, see you and be happy in his heart, he merited the Choshen Mishpat on his heart. Perush, Aaron Haya, Mitnave, Yisrael, Kodem, Moshe. The explanation is that Aaron was the prophet for Israel before Moshe. Kol Otam Pei Shanim. All of those, Pei is the number 80. 80 years. Ve'al zeh haya omer Moshe laKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why Moshe said to Hashem, Shlach na biad sheata ragil lishloach. Send the person you're used to sending. Send somebody else, not me. And that's the next pasuk that we saw when Hashem got angry. Shehu Aaron, and this would be Aaron. Aaron's used to being your prophet and doing your bidding. Just make him the leader. Kedichtiv, and this is the pasuk from Sefer Shmuel, Shmuel Aleph, Hanigla nigleti lebet avicha biotam b'mitzrayim. Did I not reveal myself to the house of your father? And Shmuel, the Navi, was of course a Levi, and that's who God's talking to. So didn't I reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt? And that would be referring to Aaron, because Moshe was not in Egypt. Ve'ichar af Hashem, and then b'Moshe, then Hashem gets angry at Moshe. Shecharon af zeh asa rosham. This anger did leave an impression. Shaita kuhuna ru'ya l'Moshe. The priesthood was suitable to Moshe. Ve'amar lo kadosh baruch hu, halo Aaron achicha levi shaya ra'ui liot levi. Aaron, your brother, the Levi, that was fitting to remain a Levi, ve'ata kohen, and you the kohen, achshav tia ata Levi ve'hu ya kohen. Now you're going to be the Levi and he's going to be the kohen. V'nirmeza ha-kehuna shenitna la'aron b'ketuv zeh. And it's this kehuna, the priesthood, is hinted at that it would be given to Aaron in this pasuk. V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo, and he will see you and be happy in his heart. Shehem urim v'tumim. That these refer to the accoutrements of the Kohen Gadol, the Urim V'tumim, Shayu Alev Aaron, that they would be placed on the heart of Aaron. So the Torah wants you to make this connection to see the hint that this was the moment of transfer of the Kahuna from Moshe to Aaron. V'im Kain Aaron Shesamach V'libo, because Aaron was happy in his heart, Al Nevuato Shel Moshe, on the prophecy of Moshe, Afal Pi Shenitla Mi Aaron, even though that meant it would be taken from Aaron, Gamhu samach bilibo. He also was happy in his heart. Al hakahuna, on the priesthood, shaita ruya l'Moshe, that was suitable for Moshe. V'nitla l'Moshe, v'nitna l'Aaron, and it was taken from Moshe and given to Aaron. So he also had a reason to be happy on that day. Somehow he knew that even though he was losing the prophetic aspect, he was being given the kahuna. Now, just to hint, we're going to see this later. The Urim V'tumim that we're talking about here are by their very nature prophetic. They give the word of Hashem over. So he's not really losing out on the prophecy in that sense. So keep that in mind for later. Okay, now the Ur HaTzafun, who we also looked at when we learned about Timna, Rav Natzan Tzvi Finkel, who's the altar of Slobodka. So this is from a much larger article, and you can see the title here is Shevet Achim. Hine matov u'manayim, how good and how pleasant, shevet achim gam yachad, for brothers to sit together. So we're going to see how he says that Moshe and Aaron represent the epitome of that phrase. When my kids were little and they'd start fighting, I'd start singing really loudly that song, Hine matov u'manayim, so that they would be brothers who would get along. Okay. V'omnam ra kadosh baruch hu ma'ala yitera ba'aron. So Hashem saw an even greater height in Aaron. B'zeh shehitromem me'al kol zikat daka min hadaka letovat atzmo, that he was able to rise above any hint or element of the smallest part of the goodness of himself. V'lo rak shelo nimtza bo shum shemetz shel tzar or kin'ah b'Moshe. He had not even a hint of any pain or jealousy with regard to Moshe. Elaod samach bekol mitzpunei libo. Rather, he was happy even all the hidden chambers of his heart. Al asher Moshe achiv zacha lekach. On the fact that Moshe, his brother, merited this, the prophecy. V'zechut gedola hayta la'aron b'maasei zeh. Aaron merited a tremendous amount in this act. Kedivrei Chazal, as our rabbis say, and this is a different Gemara that I didn't, or a different midrash I did not quote for you, but it's also beautiful. Halev shesamach begedulat achiv, the heart that is happy on the greatness of his brother, yavo v'yismach v'yobash orim v'tumim. He will come and be happy, joyous in the wearing of the orim v'tumim. Shenamar, as it says in Shmot, Kafchet v'natata alchosh en amishvat et ha'orim v'et ha'tumim v'yu al lev aron, the pasuk that we read from our parsha, and you shall place the choshen of judgment on the choshen judgment, the urim and the tumim, and it'll be on the heart of Aaron. Okay, so that's the altar of Slobodka. Now Rabbeinu Bechaya, 13th century Spain, he's sometimes a lot of times his commentary is a super commentary in Ramban. Here he says his own thing. Berecha v'samach b'libo, and he'll see you and be happy in his heart. Lo hayu mitkanim b'malatam zeh al zeh. Neither one was jealous of the level of either of each other. Zeh shamar katuv, and this is what the pasuk says, hine matov u'manayim shavet achim gam yachad, from Tehillim. Behold how good and how pleasant it is, brothers sitting together. V'samach b'piv lo namar. It doesn't say he'll be happy in his mouth. Ela b'libo, rather in his heart. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Halev shesamach begedulat achiv, the heart that is happy in the greatness of his brother, yolbash urim v'tumim, will wear the urim v'tumim. Shenamar, as it says, like we said before, vahayu alev aron, and they will be on the heart of Aaron. So I like this because it explicitly mentioned, hine matov u'manayim shavet achim gam yachad. Okay, here's the Maharal, Chidushei Agadot, and this is a commentary on that same Gemara that we saw before from Masachet Shabbat. Bereacha v'samach b'libo, and he'll see you and be happy in his heart. Piresh Devar Zeh, what's the explanation of this thing? Shaya samach Aaron b'gedulat achiv v'lo haya matzir lo. Aaron was happy at the greatness of his brother, and he wasn't bothered by it. Devar Zeh moreh al Aaron. This points to Aaron, Shehare lo haya mekaneh b'makom shera'ui liyot mekaneh. He wasn't jealous at a place where it would have been totally understandable to be jealous. Umitzta'er al gedulat achiv, and he wasn't saddened by the greatness of his brother, mishum she'aron haya gadol mimenu, because Aaron was the older brother by 3 years. Im kol zeh lo haya lo kin'a b'liv. Regardless of all of this, he did not have any jealousy in his heart. She'ilu haya la'aron shum kin'a b'liv, that if Aaron had had even a little bit of jealousy in his heart, the chol pachot lo haya lo simcha, he wouldn't have had any joyousness about this. Aval mipnei shehaya lo hasimcha, but since he had joyousness, moreh ki libo husar mikol chisron, it points to the fact that his heart had gone away from anything lacking, mipnei kach, hitchadesh lo simcha, and because of this, he had a renewal of joyousness, ki hasimcha kasher ein chisaron, rak shlemut, because the joyousness that doesn't have anything lacking, just completeness, v'hafach zeh ha'eval hu mikoach ha'chisaron, l'chach ra'ui haya l'choshen ha'mishvat. And the opposite, v'hefech zeh, the opposite of this, is mourning, ha'eval, and that is because of the lacking. And therefore, he was worthy of the choshen mishvat. Ki ha'choshen hu tachshit al ha'lev, because the choshen is a beautiful, is a jewelry that you put on the heart, and it's suitable that there shouldn't be in the heart any jealousy, because that would be a lacking in the heart, that you would not be able to place the choshen mishvat on top of a heart that had any jealousy in it, because it had the holy names on it, and specifically that they're called the Urim V'tumim, because they were pure, b'kol, in everything. V'im lo haya lo hamala hazot, and if Aaron didn't have this level, shelo haya lo shum kin'ah, shehu chisron b'lev, that he didn't have even a hint of jealousy, which would be something lacking in his heart, lo haya ra'ui achoshen ha'mishvat, he wouldn't have been worthy of the breastplate, shebo urim b'tumim, that in it are the urim b'tumim. Aval, rather, haya samach b'gdulat achav, V'zeo shlemot alev. He was joyous in the greatness of his brother, and that's a completion of the heart, a complete heart. Okay, so now we have the drashot haran. The Ran, just so you know, is sometimes the commentary in the Gemara on the original older riff, not the riff that we saw. You can find him there. And he says something really interesting. Okay, so v'zeh inyan biyoruhu rabotenu zal b'midrash rabba. So something our rabbis expanded on in the Midrash. Amru, in Shmot Dalet that we read, v'yomer we didn't read this. This is part of Hashem's greater speech to Moshe at the snow when he says he can't talk, that Moshe is heavy of speech. V'yomer shamelev mi sam peh. God then goes into a whole account. Who placed a mouth in man? Who are you telling you can't speak? I'm the one in charge of speech. Amarlo im in ata ish devarim lo tachush. He says, if you're not a man of words, don't worry. Halo anochi barati kol piyot shebalam. I created all the mouths in the world. Ve'ani asiti ilem mi shechafatzti. And I made mute that who I wanted to. Ve'iver l'ri'iyah, in blindness to the sight. Ve'pikeach l'shmiyah, and enlightenment on those who hear. Ve'imani hayiti chafet shetia ish devarim. And if I wanted you to be a man of words, Biadi hayala sotkach. It was in my hand to do it. Gamani chafetz ve'et shetadaber yudavarecha nechonim. Also, do you think I don't? I'm asking you to be the spokesman. You think I don't want your words to come out correctly? Shani ayam picha. I'm going to be with your mouth. Hadahu tiv. That's what's written in pasuk yedbet in the Shmot incident, the spreading bush. Ve'ata now lech ve'anochi ayah im picha. You go and I will be with your mouth. And with all this, it would still be difficult for Moshe to speak with Paro, Bioto Arel Sfat time, because he was had uncircumcised lips. Natanlo Hashem Yitzbarach Elav Lemetorgaman Aaron. God gave him an interpreter, Aaron. Vim Heyot Aaron Gadol Mimanu Vekodem Alav Ben Nevuah Lo Nitkanebo. And despite the fact that Aaron was older than him and he had prophecy first, he was not jealous of him. And our rabbis already mentioned that he received this great reward for not being jealous. Amar v'perek Rabbi Eliezer detuli, and it says in Shabbos that we've already seen a couple times that the reward for being happy in your heart is he merited the choshen mishpat on his heart. V'zeh ma'amar tzarich bior, but we need to explain this. He asks different questions. Madua nityaches zeh ha'gamol Aaron al tov levavo b'nevuat Moshe. Why was this the reward for Aaron on the goodness of his heart in the Moshe receiving prophecy? More than any other greatness that Aaron had in his role as a priest. Aaron had a lot of great things happen to him as the Kohen Gadol. Why is the Choshen Mishpat specifically the reward for him not having jealousy? The answer is, Shekvar hodi onu rabotenu zal. Our rabbis already told us in Sanhedrin, the Gemara, Shekol midotav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, mida keneged mida. Everything God does is measure for measure. Kmo sheshanino b'mishnatenu v'chein li'inyan ha'tova, like we learn in other places. V'ratza zeh Hashem Yitzbarach kedei shetityashev inyan ha'hashkacha b'lev b'nei hadam. Hashem does things measure for measure so that it will settle in a person that this is divine providence, that the reason this is happening to you is directly related to something you did or didn't do. Ki im lo yavo ha-gamol ha-tov, bi-inyan sh'aya ha-pol ha-tov, efshar sh'yeza nitla b'mikra, u-b'min ha-gosh ha-olam. Because if your reward is not measure for measure with the action that you did, you'll just think it's a coincidence that whatever happened to you for good or for bad. Aval kasher yavol gamol belton yan beatzmo shehaya hapol hatov. But when the reward is directly related, measure for measure, with your good action, az yodea kizah behashkacha mehashem yitbarach, then you know that it was divine providence from God. Ubekavana, and intentionally, mimenu l'shalem tov l'tovim, from him to pay back good for good. Bilachin yachazu zal zeh hagamol la'aron. And that's why the Choshen Mishpat is the appropriate reward for Aaron for this action more than any other greatness of being the Kohen Gadol. Shehu Moresh Elozacha Aaron Lizotamala, Ki im Ligmul Mizahapa. This shows that Aaron received this as a direct reward for this action. Ki Dvar Yaduahu Shalide Choshen Hayanoda Inyan Ha'atidut. Because it's known that by way of the Choshen, it would be known to the Kohen Gadol the future. And this wasn't meant to be part of Aaron's portion. Because knowing the future is something suitable for the prophet and not the Kohen. Just like the matters of the prophet is to give over the future and not in the service of God in the temple, all the sacrifices. The role of the Kohen is the service to God in the temple and not giving over the future. So maybe you'll say, but the Choshen is just one of the eight required garments for serving God as a Kohen. Zachar Aaron lezot ha'mala mitzad kehunato. And so Aaron only merited the choshen mishvat because he was a kohen. Ein ha'inyan kein. Don't say that. Ki ha'choshen eno magid ha'atidot mitzad he'oto choshen belvad. The choshen, which is the breastplate with all the jewels on it and the names of the tribes, it in it and of itself wouldn't give over the future. Aval mitzad ha'urim ve'hatumim shayu ben k'palav. It was something extra. The Urim v'Tumim are not part of the general clothing requirements, and they were in the little pocket of the Choshen folded over. Okay? So meaning, the Choshen is the required elemental clothing of the Kohen Gadol. The Urim v'Tumim were something extra, and they don't count towards the clothing. In fact, as I said before, during the Second Temple, they didn't have the Urim v'Tumim. They didn't have a way of telling the future. And that obviously is related to the Sinat Chinam, the baseless hatred, that they didn't have this happiness, joyous in their heart like they did during Aaron through the First Temple. And it didn't disqualify the Kohen from doing its work if you didn't have the Urim v'Tumim. If you didn't have the Choshen, the breastplate, it would have disqualified the Kohen, but the Urim v'Tumim weren't an essential part. It was extra. V'araya od b'zesha orim v'tumim lohus karu kan v'seder v'ela p'kude b'maseh ha'begadim klal k'mo shekatav ha'ramam. And he brings further textual proof that the orim v'tumim are missing in some of the descriptions of the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Ki amar v'yas et ha'choshen. So in the parsha p'kude, v'yakob p'kude, the last parsha that repeats a lot of these laws of the Kohen Gadol and all of the accoutrements and clothing, it says, and he shall make the choshen, v'lo mar v'yas et ha'orim v'atatumim. It doesn't say they'll make the orim v'atumim. Ki lo hayaza m'maasei ha'omanim kla. This was not done by any of the craftsmen who put together the clothing for the Kohen Gadol. Ava Moshe levado nitztaveh b'davar, k'moshe ne'amar b'parshat v'atatzevai. Moshe alone is commanded in this, like in our parsha. And when Moshe is told, "V'natata el choshen hamishpat et ha'orim v'atatumim," and you shall place in the choshen mishpat the orim v'atumim. And so it's not given over later when the craftsmen are actually crafting it. It's only given over in the command to Moshe. V'chein asak Moshe amar b'parshat Tzav, and also in Parshat Tzav, "V'yiten el ha'choshen et ha'orim v'atatumim, hine kol zeh morah she'ein inyan orim v'atumim mikla b'kdei kehuna." So it's not, the Urim v'Tumim were not included in the clothing of the priests. L'fichach darshu rabbeinu zal shezachal ligmol tov be'oto inyan be'atzmo she'ra'a tov levavo. And that's why this is measure for measure of the goodness of his heart. She'im hayoto kodem l'moshe b'nivuah lo nitkane bo k'shenivchar l'navi. If Moshe had been the Navi first, no, if he had been before Moshe, in prophecy, he wouldn't have been jealous when Moshe was chosen as a prophet. And that's why Hashem merited him with this honorable portion of being able to tell over the future, because this had to do with Moshe becoming the Navi and taking that role away from Aaron as the Navi, as the one who tells the future. Even though telling the future shouldn't have been part of the role of the priest, but since he wasn't jealous in the prophecy of Moshe, therefore he merited to actually be able to have nevuah, to tell over the future, in an equal way to prophecy, or even more than that. In the Gemara in Masachet Yoma, the rabbis tell us, the prophecies that are given over by way of the Orim Vetumim, actually more obligatory than that which is given over by a prophet. So it could be that what a prophet predicts for the future, specifically if it's going to be something bad, God can go back on that decree. And that's actually the role of the prophet, is to try to get the people to repent so that the bad thing won't happen. But if a gezerah has been given over by way of the Urim Batumim, eina chazeret, we can't go back on that decree. And therefore, Aaron merited this great thing that makes him as if he's a prophet. V'lo od ele shezachaba lo ulazaro. And not just this, but it's to him and his children. V'kol ze b'schar shenit asek im Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom b'inyan yitziat Mitzrayim. And all this is because of how he dealt with Moshe and the manner of leaving Egypt, and he wasn't jealous of him. So even though the prophecy was taken away from Aaron and given to Moshe, because Aaron wasn't jealous, measure for measure, Aaron gets this extra accoutrement, namely the Urim Vetumim, that allow him to be a prophet. And not only that, but even also above Moshe, he gets to pass it down to his children. So this is all in the merit of Moshe, of Aaron, and his heart in not being jealous. Okay, this is awesome, but I think I'm going to skip it for now and see if we can go back to it. It's my favorite, the Chashukei Chemed. But I want to get to the connection between Aaron and Moshe, and this is a little scary for me to say. Again, I'm being a little creative. You can feel free to disagree with me, but it was, when I read this, it was too obvious for me not to say it. So this is HaKetav HaKabbalah, who we've seen several times this year, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Yaakov Tzvi Mecklenburg, and he was friends with the Malbim, and he only became a rabbi in his 40s. He had a great education. He wasn't a Baal Tshuva, but he was a businessman, and he went into the rabbinate to help fight the reform movement in his time. Okay, B'Shem Choshen. So the name Choshen, who behefech otan mishem nachash. The word Choshen has the same letters in it as nachash. The targum nachash yinachesh, so when it says in Parshat Miketz, when Yosef says to the brothers, when he accuses them of stealing his silver goblet, don't you think that I know how to divine? So snake, nachash means snake. As a verb, it means to divine. In modern Hebrew, it means to guess. So the Targum translates, Nachesh, Nachesh, I can surely divine, Badka mevadek, as checking. Bodek is check. Ele sheshem nachash yore al habedika b'inyane chol. The word nachash points to checking in secular, profane matters. V'divrei hevel v'shtut, and words of wind and ridiculousness. V'shem choshen yore al habedika b'inyane kodesh. So the Choshen is a diviner, although it's a holy diviner. It's through God, and it points to checking in matters of holiness. Ulehavdil bein hakodesh v'ha'emet levein hachol v'hasheker, to distinguish between holiness and truth and profane and lies. Okay? So you can't help but see here, based on Moshe's history, that it wasn't natural for Moshe to not doubt people and to not expect the best from them. And for Aaron, it seems that this is his natural inclination. So it seems that not only is Aaron rewarded for the happiness of his heart of becoming the Kohen, but Moshe is also punished based on his lack of ability to naturally have faith in people, including his brother, plus the Jewish people. And God is sending him this message at the burning bush with the snake and with the tzara'at that this is not a good midah, that this is something he needs to work on. And therefore, he's not worthy of this role of the Kohen, who needs to have this complete, pure love for the people he's leading and the people he's trying to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That the role of the Kohen is to atone for the people's sins. If you expect the people to sin, if you think they're going to sin, how can you serve in that role of helping them atone for their sins through Hashem, through the korbanot, the sacrifices? That role was reserved to Aaron in his pureness of heart. Okay, and then we see some other differences between Moshe and Aaron when they die. So this is when Aaron dies in Bamidbar Perek Kaf, Parshat Chukat. So everyone saw that Aaron had died, and the entire house of Israel wept for Aaron for 30 days. Kol Beit Yisrael. Rashi there says, Kol Beit Yisrael, the men and the women, for Aaron had pursued peace. He promoted love between disputing parties and between man and wife. And then when we learn of Moshe's death at the end of the Torah, in Devarim Perek Lamed Daled, instead of it saying, Kol Beit Yisrael, it says, Vayivku B'nei Yisrael. The sons of Israel wept for Moshe. And Rashi there says, ordinarily the son B'nei Yisrael means both male and female, but here, because of the clear contrast between Kol Beit Yisrael with Aaron and just B'nei Yisrael, we're taking in the gender and saying sons of Israel. It refers only to the males. However, concerning the passing of Aaron, since he used to pursue peace and bring peace between a man and his fellow and between a woman and her husband, it said at Aaron's passing, the whole house of Israel wept for him, meaning both males and females. And the Gemara there says, rather, the judge must assure that the true judgment will prevail at all costs and metaphorically pierce the mountain, as it is stated, for the judgment is God's. Similarly, Moshe would say, let the judgment pierce the mountain. But by contrast, Aaron, whose role was not that of a judge, was a lover of peace and a pursuer of peace. And he would apply peace between one person and the other, as it is stated. The law of truth was in his mouth, and uprightness was not found in his lips. He walked with me in peace and uprightness and turned many away from iniquity. Okay, so I just said some not so nice things about Moshe Rabbeinu. We're going to fix it a little bit in the next two, I think we're going to skip this source for the sake of time. We're going to go to the Emet Liakov. He's going to fix it a little, so we're going to end on a good note. So on this, Vayivku B'nei Yisrael Moshe Baravot Moab Shloshim Yom, and B'nei Yisrael, the sons of Israel, cried for Moshe on the plains of Moab for 30 days. Piresh Rashi Zal, Rashi explains, B'nei Yisrael Hascharim Aval Ba'aron Mitoch Shaya Rode Shalom Benoten Shalom Ben Ish L'Reyu Ben Isha L'Vala Na'amar Kol Beit Yisrael Zecharim Ben Nekevot. So for Moshe it was just the men, but for Aaron, because he pursued peace and he brought peace between a man and his friend and between a husband and wife, it says all of the house of Israel, the men and the women. L'chora Niralanu Ki Moshe V'Aaron Hayu Chalukim B'tiv'am U'mizgam. At first glance, this would seem to imply what I was implying before, that Moshe and Aaron were divided in their nature and in their, the way Mezeg Avir is weather, their temperaments. Deva'od she'Aaron haya ish noach v'shofea neimot. It seems that Aaron is pleasant and comfortable, and he spews out pleasantness. Mazbir panim l'kol echad, he gives a nice face to everybody. V'doresh b'shlomo b'tuvo, he seeks out their welfare and their goodness. Mitzdayer lanu Moshe Rabbeinu ki'ilu haya adam kapdan. Moshe Rabbeinu is described on us as somebody who's very demanding. V'ish kasha, and difficult. Shekol kocho tamun b'ridiyat ha'am. All of his strength was put into ruling the people. Ubeshevet Musar, and giving in a Musari way, in a, how do we translate that? Chaim, how would you translate that?
Musar is
it's ethics, but it's like, it needs to be bound up in somebody. So in a very tight way, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Musar is sort of the opposite of chassidus, which is all loving and nice. Okay. Avalameti.
Rebuke.
Thank you. Rebuke. Yes. Moshe was rebuking him, the nation, all the time. And Aaron was just creating peace. And it seems like we have these two totally different personalities. Aval. But Hameti Shehachiluk Behanhagatam Lohaya Mushrash B'tivam. He's saying this difference in their behavior was not rooted in their natures. Ela b'tafkidam b'toch b'nei Yisrael. Rather, it was in their roles among the children of Israel. V'hainu de Moshe haya melech. Moshe was the king. U'melech tzarech lishpot et ha'am b'chazaka. And a king needs to judge the nation strongly. La'anish et ha'ra'ui, la'onesh v'liaser et ha'avaryan. To punish the ones who are fitting to be punished, and to rebuke those who transgress. Aval Aaron shelo haya lo tafkid kaze, Aaron did not have this role. Haya yachol lihitnaheg al pi midotav hatzvi'im. Aaron could act according to his nature. So they both had a nature to be sweet and good, but Moshe had to overcome his nature to be the king, and Aaron could still be in his nature. V'lo haya tzarich larot shum chozik yad behanhagat tzibor, and he didn't need to use any kind of strong hand in the behavior of in his relations with the public. B'zeo be'emet atam madu asirev Moshe lechatzchila. And this is really the reason why Moshe refused in the beginning milakabel al tzmot minuei amalucha, to receive upon himself the appointment of the king. V'adarabah hu savar she'aron shehu achiv hagadolo lo ra'ui tafkidza. He reasoned that Aaron, his big brother, would be better suited to this role of king. And then Moshe would have been left to chase after peace and quiet. Maseit nafsho, what his soul wanted. Ulamase kishenit mana Moshe, v'lo Aaron. And in actuality, when Moshe was appointed and not Aaron, samach Aaron. Aaron was happy. Shelo alafuta tafkid liot avrodebe'am, that he didn't have to go chasing after them, ruling over the nation. So that's the Emet Liakov, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's view of this, that both Moshe and Aaron were sweet and wanted to pursue peace, and that Moshe had to withhold that aspect of his personality in order to act as a proper king. Now, I'm not entirely convinced by the Emet Liakov, because I think we saw that it really wasn't natural to Moshe, in terms of his doubt of both the Jewish people and his doubt of Aaron, that he had to learn to be like this, as opposed to Aaron, for whom it was natural. But that's an alternative view, a much more positive view of Moshe and Aaron and who their natures were. And I think you see the difference between the king, who has to rule and has to be strict and use the aspect of judgment, and the priest, who has to maintain this unconditional love and belief in the people, so that he can create peace, not just between man and man and man and wife, but also between man and God, that he's in charge of the atonement. And that is the role that Aaron took on. That is the role that he richly deserved because of how we see him responding to Moshe and Moshe's rise to greatness, even above his own greatness as his younger brother. And that's why Aaron merits to wear the Choshen HaMishpat, because of his love for everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.